Welcome to the Faculty Workshop Podcast, where faculty learn the most successful strategies used by other educators. Whether you are looking for ways to improve your teaching, your productivity, or simply looking for professional development opportunities, we've got you covered. And now, your host, Dr. Fawaz Al-Maloud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Faculty Workshop Podcast, the podcast for college educators. I'm your host, Dr. Fawaz Al-Maloud from facultyworkshop.com. And in today's show, I'd like to share with you three ways to avoid college student problems before they occur. There are numerous articles on the internet that address this issue, and some are better than others. The tips I'm about to share with you are strategies that have worked for me, and I hope they'll work for you as well. I've found that most student-related problems fall into two broad categories: behavioral problems and academic performance. In this episode, I'll briefly discuss both of them. I found that most behavioral problems can be mitigated before they even start. How? I'm glad you asked. In a nutshell, nip it in the bud. Take action from the very beginning and address potential areas of concern before they even occur. Here are three things that you can do to help prevent some of these problems. 1. Expectations. It begins on the very first day of class. Lay out your expectations, both behavioral and academic expectations, on the very first day. You can't expect students to behave in a certain manner that is acceptable to you unless you tell them what you expect. So how do you tell them? First, clearly document these expectations in your syllabus and then go over them with your students on the first day of class. Provide a copy of your syllabus to all of your students and take your time in going over every detail of the syllabus with particular emphasis on expectations. So what kind of expectations should you go over? Well, that depends on what is important to you and what is appropriate for the school that you teach in. The expectations will vary between community college, private colleges, and public universities. In addition to some of your own expectations, there are some factors that may influence what goes onto your syllabus. For example, some of these factors may include your classroom size, your classroom style, the course requirements, student demographics, and the subject being taught. Ask yourself, what behaviors do you expect from students and what will you not tolerate? And then find out if there is a specific policy or procedure at your particular school to address these issues. Here are some of the things that I expect from my students. Absolute punctuality. Being prepared for class. Being respectful. Using proper communication online. Strict adherence to my instructions. And because of the subject that I teach in and the student population, I also have a dress code expectation in my syllabus. In addition to the behavioral expectations, I also include academic performance expectations so that students know and understand that they are expected to perform. I do not allow students to cruise in my classes. They are either there to learn and participate, or they are invited to find another course that is more suited to their pace and expectations. I have high expectations of my students because I care about them and I want them to be the best. I've also found that when you set high expectations for students and hold them accountable, students will rise up to the challenge and perform superbly if they are dedicated. If your standards are too low, too vague, or have no measure of accountability, you'll start to notice a lot of inconsistency in student behavior and performance. You will eventually find yourself dealing with more student problems than you want. So use your syllabus as a contract between you and your students. Be sure to include what is important or relevant to you, such as communication protocols, deadlines, when and how to ask for help, how to request special accommodations for students with certain disabilities, etc. When communicating your expectations on the first day of class, your demeanor needs to convey your seriousness about your expectations and consequences. Students will take their cue from you. If you look like you care and are serious about a particular expectation, so will they. Besides documenting my expectations and going over them with students on the first day, I also test my students on the content of the syllabus. Yes, I have a syllabus quiz, which I give students the second time we meet. It's worth about 5% of their grade. The second thing that you should do is establish accountability. Expectations and rules are worthless if they do not have any consequences and if you do not implement them consistently and fairly among all students. I repeat, implement them consistently and fairly among all students. Whether they are C students or A students, do not make allowances based on academic merit and or personality and let things slide by just because a particular student happens to be considered a good student. Favoritism will damage your credibility in the eyes of the students and will land you in trouble. Don't do it. So how do you hold people accountable? Well, that's a topic for another episode, but in short, your syllabus needs to clearly explain what will happen if students fall short, violate, or fail to meet your expectations. The consequences on my syllabus vary depending on the infraction, but here's a sample of some of them. 1. Loss of 10 points for being late up to 5 minutes. In my class, students are required to be there when class begins. If they walk in 1 second after class time, they're marked as tardy, up to 5 minutes. 2. Dismissal for tardiness beyond 5 minutes. I do not permit students to enter my class if they arrive to class 5 minutes after we've begun. I politely ask them to return to the next class meeting and I mark them as absent. 3. Unexcused absences or dismissal for tardiness beyond 5 minutes results in a loss of 20 points, which is about 2% of the student's grade for the class. 4. Any 3 of the above infractions render the student eligible to be dropped from class or receive a failing grade from the course. 5. Demonstrating inappropriate behavior, being disrespectful, or cheating typically results in the student being removed from class for the day, being reported to the director of student life, and or receiving a failing grade. It depends on the infraction, and this is a bit more detailed in my syllabus. Check your school's policy in dealing with these types of situations before you implement them in your syllabus. Now, while some of these policies seem a bit strict or even extreme to some faculty, they're in place because in my particular situation, they were necessary and some of them were prompted through my school's policies or recommendations from my advisory board. I did not create them without reason or consultation, and I would encourage you to do the same. Talk with some of the faculty and administrators on your campus to get their input. As a program coordinator and former department chair, I found that many student problems occur because the faculty did or failed to do one of the following things. 1. Did not have any expectations on the syllabus. 2. Provided some expectations, but they were too vague and not measurable. 3. Provided expectations without consequences, which invalidates the expectations. 4. Try to create consequences on the spot that were not documented in the syllabus. 5. Listing consequences but failing to hold students accountable until the situation becomes unmanageable. 6. Listing consequences but being selective and inconsistent in the implementation. As a faculty member, you need to tell students what you want them to do. Let them know how they are going to be held accountable and then do it. I meet so many faculty who are afraid of holding students accountable. The faculty are afraid of confrontation, afraid of not being popular and receiving poor student evaluations, afraid of not getting tenure, afraid of not being asked to come back to teach in the case of adjunct faculty. Well, if you're always afraid and fear dictates how you operate, perhaps you ought to be thinking of another career, because students, your colleagues, and your superiors will walk all over you if you're constantly afraid. Being a professor is a highly respected and noble vocation. Treat it with the respect that it deserves, not fear. Malcolm X once said, "If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything." So ask yourself what you stand for, mediocrity or excellence. I personally choose the latter, and I found that it's improved the lives of more students than I can count and made my job a lot more enjoyable and gratifying. Holding people accountable isn't about being mean and punishing students if they don't follow your instructions. It's about teaching students to be responsible adults and equipping them with the soft skills that so many of them are missing today and employers are demanding. We college faculty are preparing students for the professional world, and unfortunately, our curriculum is not designed to integrate soft skills. But our syllabus can. The third thing that you should do to mitigate behavioral and academic performance problems is to walk the talk. This means you need to lead by example. There is nothing worse than a professor who preaches and expects one thing from students and does the opposite. I was at a conference once, and the attendees were asked to form small groups to discuss some of the challenges that faculty experience and how to address them. One of the faculty at my table was a registered dietitian who informed us that she used to hold workshops for parents to teach them how to make better and healthier meal choices for their children. This was to address the issue of childhood obesity. This faculty stated that it was very difficult for her to get parents to listen to her and to have them buy and feed their kids healthier meals. She couldn't understand why parents didn't take her seriously and followed her recommendations, since it was common sense and would benefit their children. This registered dietitian was regrettably obese herself, and just happened to be eating a glazed bear claw while she was sharing the story with us. The scene was awkward, sad, and a bit comical. Of course no parents wanted to listen to her and take her advice. Why would they? She obviously wasn't practicing what she preached, and if she was, it evidently wasn't working. She had no credibility because she didn't walk the talk. If you expect students to be punctual, then you better arrive to class early and start on time. If you expect them to be respectful and not use profanity, you need to demonstrate respect and never swear both in and out of class. Since I run a hospitality management program, I expect students to practice hospitality industry standards and work ethics in my classroom. This means being punctual, arriving prepared, observing industry grooming standards, and demonstrating respect and courtesy. Now, I can only expect that from my students if I am able to demonstrate those behaviors all the time. It can't be an occasional or random act on my part. It needs to be consistent and deliberate. So arrive super early to school, get your class ready if necessary, and make sure that you've already prepped for your class or classes before you even get to school. You should never feel rushed to get to school or anxious about not being prepared. If you plan your day properly and in advance, things just fall into place. And it makes it much easier for you to focus on what is important rather than trying to tie up loose ends and putting out fires. I'd like to share with you my prepping routine. 1. Course materials. I typically have my course materials, handouts, and everything else that I need for class ready a day or two before I need them. I also ensure that I have a backup plan in the event that my printed materials aren't ready, that I need them from the print shop. I also have an alternate emergency location to print materials, or have an alternative activity for students to do in the event that I am not able to pick up my print materials for the print shop and I'm not able to access my emergency printing location. In other words, I have a plan and I have a backup plan. 2. Clothes. Have your clothes or uniform, if applicable, ready and laid out the night before school. Automate this process so that you're not always scrambling to find clean clothes or thinking about what you should wear right before you have to leave the house. I personally have all of my clothes for the following day ready and pressed before I go to bed. I usually do my ironing at 8 p.m. while listening to a podcast or an audiobook. It makes ironing fun and gives me something to look forward to. 3. Getting to school. I've taught at different times of the day, so I know that your commute and my commute and parking situation will vary depending on the schedule. Some schedules will allow you to take your time when getting to work, and others will require you to head out very early. I've made it a bit of a habit to always leave home early and plan to be on campus at least one full hour before my first class begins. In the event there's some traffic or accident on the road, I still won't be late because I gave myself ample time to make up for lost time on the road. Sometimes I'm on campus a couple of hours before class. Either way, I never arrive to class just a few minutes before we begin. That is a recipe for disaster. Give yourself sufficient time and remember that Murphy lives on campus and hangs out with unprepared people. 4. Class readiness. Arriving early to class gives me the opportunity to review my plan for the day and check to make sure that my class and the computer station are ready for me. Arriving early also allows me to have a pot of coffee and hot water ready for tea for my students. Yes, I make my students a fresh pot of coffee every morning. A free boost of caffeine goes a long way and my students certainly appreciate it. Besides, I'm a hospitality professor. I love taking care of people and treating them as guests. When you practice what you preach, you automatically establish a reputation for professional integrity, and your students and your colleagues will respect you for it and come to appreciate it.
So, to recap, the three things that you need to do in order to mitigate college student problems are: 1. Set expectations. 2. Implement accountability measures. And 3. Walk the talk.
Well, I hope you learned a lot from this episode and found value in it. This podcast would not exist if it weren't for your interest and support. So I want to thank you for tuning in and making this podcast a part of your day. And if you're finding this podcast helpful, please share it with other faculty. I'd also like to invite you to head on over to facultyworkshop.com to read some of our articles or to ask a question that you would like to have answered on this show. That's it for this episode. Until next time, take care and God bless.